Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Jason Miles, and welcome to another episode of This is Revolution Podcast. If you are a returning viewer or subscriber, thank you. Welcome back. We are so glad to have you here. If you're new to the channel, welcome. If you like what you see, make sure you hit like and subscribe on your way out so you can be alerted whenever we go live. With that being said, let me bring in the TIR crew. Please welcome, coming all the way live from Miami, Florida, he is the man of the Mau Mau Hour. He is the Pascal Robert.
Peace and grace to the chat. Peace and grace to the audience. People who use Jason Miles. I think my camera went out.
Yep, it did, because all I see is this is Revolution. I don't see you.
How did that happen?
I have no idea. This is, you know, typical time to do this right as the show starts. That's okay, because this is an audio podcast too. Another person that is Haitian and faceless. She is the voice of reason on this show, and she'll probably have a lot to say tonight. Please welcome M. Toussaint.
Hello, hello. Hello, Mr. Miles. Hello, Mr. Robert. Thank you for trying to steal my shtick.
Oh, wow. Is that what I'm doing?
Apparently. For those that don't know, there's a music thing on this program that we use that's basically just generic AI generated music, and it cues me in to let me know that the intro music is done and I should be ready to go. I did not mean for it to sound this pornish. Can you hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, with that 90s 80s porn saxophone that keeps playing. It tells you what genre of music to click, and they all sound the same. So I figured it was going to be a laid back Tuesday, so I clicked lounge, like that made a difference, and this is what came out.
That's AI for you.
And now Pascal disappeared.
Boom.
He could be doing anything right now. You could be nude right now.
I wasn't nude when we started the show.
You could be nude now, okay? Maybe that's your shtick. Maybe one of them freaky deaky Negroes. Speaking of freaky deaky Negroes.
True.
What is it about the pimp that has kept it a cultural icon in the black community? Could this revelation about Sean Combs, coupled with the revelations about numerous other black stars, mean that the pimp as anti-hero's days are finally over? Someone says lounge always makes me think of revolution. I didn't know I had to always make you think of revolution. Jesus. I have this clip of an actor that so many people love, and many people don't remember this role he did in, I believe, 1982 with Christopher Reeve. You people know him as Christopher Reeve. I know him as Superman. Do you remember this movie? Pascal, do you remember this movie?
This looks familiar. Play it.
It's called Street Smart. Here, I'm going to play you a clip from Street Smart.
You might think that shit, man. I don't. I don't have to go to Harvard to know what you're doing. You know what I'm trying to say to you, man? Do ya?
Yes, I do.
But then shut the fuck up. You don't tell me how people react to me. I know what people are doing no matter what they say. Because I read minds, you dig? I don't take no shit off of you. You lying through your fucking teeth. I know it. You know it. And this fucking hoe know it.
Come on, leave him alone.
Yeah? Yeah. You think you patronizing now? She might take.
That wasn't the response I thought you were gonna have, Pascal. Invisible Pascal.
I thought that was Christopher Reeve.
Christopher Reeve said that. He's not Christopher Reeve. He's not. He said, "Woo hoo hoo." Morgan, your pimp hand is rather strong.
Yo, he laid the pimp hand.
Again, you know, not the response I thought you were going to have. Definitely is. Maybe you not being there is your excuse to just like double down on your pimping. I thought I sent it to you, Tucson, for whatever reason. I guess it didn't go through, but there was a montage that someone had posted of these scenes. You know, and they varied actually. From the more the stereotypical images you got in the 70s and 80s to more of the sexual coercion you get in movies like Set It Off. Yeah. You guys remember that film where it starts off? Jada Pinkett has to, or doesn't have to, but I guess she has to, sleep with her boss for an advance on her salary so she can help pay for her brother's college, who later gets killed, and then they start robbing banks. Good movie, though. Went to the theater to see that.
It is a good movie.
But it definitely shows different forms of coercion. How does the proliferation of pimp culture in the Black community intersect with broader issues of systemic racism and economic inequality?
That's a really good question. I think this is one of those questions where you wish you had a Black feminist scholar on the show, like Nicole Alexander Floyd, to talk about the intersectionality of pimp culture and Black popular culture in film. I think that with the rise of the 70s blaxploitation movie and the popularization of urban ghetto life and the normalization of the cool poles of Black film, that all forms of abhorrent behavior become normalized and become just a stereotype of Black life. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the places where that becomes the most correspondent is the pimp. Mm-hmm. The pimp is a tragic figure. I mean, he's the bottom basement of criminals who makes all of his money abusing women. He has no skill as a criminal. He can't rob. He can't do anything. All he does is use the gift of gab to just, you know, leech off women.
But does he? And that's kind of... What you're describing, and this is just my opinion, what you're describing is the Hollywood depiction of what a pimp is. And in everyday life, they don't necessarily look like that. A lot of times it's couples strung out, and this is a way to, you know, get money so they can not be sick. That's the most common I've ever seen.
Yeah. In other words, it's not the typical.
It's not glamorous, and it's not.
Oh, no, I would never call it glamorous. I don't think any aspect of street life is glamorous. But I think it's been depicted as that way. I think it's been normalized as that way in pop culture. Mm-hmm. And I think it really took off, particularly in hip-hop, mm-hmm. with the way it was normalized with... I mean, I don't think... Does pimp culture really start with West Coast hip-hop?
In the music or in general?
In the music, yeah, Slick Rick, right? Slick Rick has that song, Treat Him Like a Prostitute. It doesn't start in the music in the West Coast, but it takes on a culture of itself in the music. But again, part of the problem I have with what happens to hip-hop is that it takes crime becomes an aesthetic of the music overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
And pimping becomes part of that. But I think the old, to answer your question directly,
yeah,
the normalization of pimping as a lifestyle is part of the consequence of criminal underclass, what the dominant society calls underclass behavior, becoming mainstreamed as what they assume is normative black life.
Would you say sometimes those roles are written or sang about by a certain bourgeois element of black people that try to commodify underclass ideology?
Absolutely.
Toussaint, do you have anything you'd like to add?
Superfly was written by truck drivers.
Well, okay.
Well, one of those truck stops I was at, there was this brother with a really bright suit. He took no guff from the man, I'll tell you what.
Toussaint, would you like to add anything to that?
Yeah, I think one thing that Pascal said, well, I mean, he said many things that are important, but one thing that stood out to me was the word normalize. Mm-hmm. And I think that if we're going to even examine this and bring any of it to light, we're going to have to look at things that we thought were normal that are actually coercive and exploitative. But those things just seemed really normal to us. And
name one.
Dating underage girls.
Like 15, or I'm 45 and I'm dating a 20-year-old?
You're 45 and you're dating a 15-year-old.
Okay, that's gross.
That is gross. But see, it's taking time for people to say that that's gross.
It's taking a long time for that to be legally gross.
True.
I mean, I've said on this show, and I'll say it again, I think a big reason why some artists from the 70s don't want to come back is because, you know, their history is so public of sleeping with underage women, doing kind of outlandish things that were laughed about in the press 40, 50 years ago, like adopting an underage girl so you could screw her.
Yeah.
That now, you know, you don't want those stories coming out. They may hinder ticket sales. But how common is that today in the States? I mean, it's a little more common where I live, sadly, but how right. common is that where you are?
I think it's pretty common. I think it's normalized. And I think it's overlooked. When I was in high school, there was plenty of girls who were dating guys who were, we'll say, overage. I remember one, she met him on the internet and we were all trying to convince her that he was just way too old.
How old was he? Do you remember?
He was like in his 30s, like 34.
Yikes.
And she was
what
like,
what are you talking about?
15, but she was an immature 15. Not that a mature 15 would have made the deal better, but it was like she was really immature.
What do you say to people that push back on that, what you just said, and said, well, in certain communities, this age gap is a little more accepting?
I think the tide is turning against that. Okay. Gen Z doesn't like it.
Okay.
Gen Z is calling
it. Do we care what Gen Z likes or not likes?
I mean, their taste will become the prevalent taste soon enough.
Yep.
So Gen Z's not into it. It's becoming more and more public. People are scrutinizing marriages like Jay-Z's and Beyonce's, where the age gap is like 12 years. And where they met when she was underage. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Jay-Z is a guy who was friends with R. Kelly.
So everyone that's friends with R. Kelly is a sexual predator?
I'm not saying that.
Then why'd you bring it up?
I'm just saying he's managed to sort of scrub the internet of that information.
Was Jay-Z was able to scrub the fact that that Beyonce was barely a teenager when they got together?
That isn't really talked about. But he has actively sought to distance himself from R. Kelly.
I mean, is that the act of a guilty man or someone that maybe doesn't want to hang around with someone that they maybe despise now?
It was all good just a week ago.
Oh, so he was cool with him. I'm sure it was longer than a week ago. He was cool. I'm sure A&E or Lifetime and their whole like Living with R. Kelly series had a lot to do with that. I'm not going to return Robert's call, honey. I don't know if we can have him and his girlfriends over again for the holidays.
His girlfriends.
And I want Jay-Z to talk like that in this world of Jay-Z hanging out.
I like that. I like that for him.
Just responsible Jay-Z walking around the house like Ward Cleaver with a newspaper in his hand. Oh, God. Honey, where's Blue Ivy?
Ward Cleaver Jay-Z is our new character.
He sits Blue Ivy down.
Doesn't this overall say that more about the overall danger of this fascination with pop culture? We talk about that often on the show, about how capitalist realism seeps into these cultural spaces and causes people to get, you know, so inundated with the imagery of pop culture. And what does it say that we are so obsessed with Hollywood celebrity that to the point where we are now just discussing the fact that we have like a potential, sexual predator. And Sean Diddy Combs, who was, this is a guy who was in the spaces of world leaders, the president. Mm-hmm.
But so was Jeffrey Epstein, right?
I'm not the one making the distinction between the two.
I mean, you heard it on, or maybe you guys didn't hear on the show, but go back and listen to my episode with Eugene Robinson, who, is a, very well-known reporter and was at some correspondence dinner in D.C. when Clinton was in office. And he said when he met Bill Clinton, he's with two young ladies that seemed kind of like professionals. I was like, oh, okay. So are these just the actions of the powerful that we kind of accept at a certain point?
Let's not act like this is something new. In terms of celebrities, mm-hmm. politicians, mm-hmm. or the powerful by any stretch of the imagination. This goes back to, I'm sure to the age of kings, the Roman Empire, the ages of Caesar, beyond that. Mm-hmm. In terms of powerful, men of power and stature using those positions to have their way with women, young or otherwise.
In the Sean Combs case, if we turn to the Sean Combs sex scandal, what are the implications of high-profile figures being implicated in such scandals for discussions around consent, power dynamics, and accountability? Toussaint, you want to take that?
Well, they're people that we all kind of know. Mm-hmm. So they can make good case examples for what we're talking about. We're not talking about Joe down the street because we don't all know Joe down the street. Mm-hmm. We don't all live on the same street. But we've all been exposed to Sean, Puffy, Papa Diddy Pop, Combs. We've all been exposed to him, so he makes a good case study for us. He's been in the limelight for decades. Mm-hmm. Got lots of information about him, and we're learning lots more.
Now, you are a native New Yorker, and I'm sure you heard rumors about him going back to the 90s.
I have.
Maybe being involved with some homosexual trysts, maybe?
Wow, that's a serious allegation you did, Jason. Maybe being involved in some homosexual
trysts. You act like I made up the rumor.
No,
you act like I was once selling the R. Kelly P tape at the barbershop. It wasn't me.
I mean, are you making an allegation about M. Toussaint? Are you talking about Diddy?
Oh, no, M. Toussaint didn't. I don't know what she does with her private time.
Okay, wow.
She's too busy walking around New York being fabulous with her hair done.
Living my life like it's golden.
Living my life like it's golden. No, Sean Combs. I'm sure you heard those rumors about Sean Combs.
I did indeed hear those rumors about Sean Combs for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Were you dismissive when you first heard him? Because you're like, no way.
Maybe. But it took me some time of being exposed to certain media figures mm-hmm. who like to expose this sort of thing for me mm-hmm. to really let go of the rose-colored glasses when it comes to celebrities. Mm. And I am grateful for that. I'm grateful for someone like a Wendy Williams. In the 90s, as a child,
mm-hmm.
these people were larger than life.
Mm-hmm.
And you believed everything they did. You believed they were all really gangsters. And
did you believe Mary J. Blige was the queen of hip-hop soul?
I did believe she was the queen of hip-hop soul because it was said so many times. I believed what I was told until I was told different. And that was necessary.
Pascal.
I was not a child in the 90s.
We understand you had Wallabies on at this point and Fraternity
Jack. Wallabies had gone out of style by then.
Early 90s? Oh, no.
Wallabies were more like the 80s.
Oh, look at this guy. He's so fucking fashion forward.
By the way, you see there's a great Wallabies commercial on their Instagram with Raekwon, the chef, talking about we all need to go back and get our Wallabies. We need to go back and get them and bring them out. I was like, ooh.
Pascal Wallabies. They're in the closet in a bag too, so no dust gets on them.
In a Crown Royal bag.
Yeah, it's just waiting, like, now it's time. And the music plays, and he just... in a Crown Royal bag. The biggest Crown Royal bag you've ever seen. But Pascal, what does the Diddy sex scandal say about high-profile figures being implicated in these scandals? What does it say about consent and power dynamics and accountability?
I think it says that they will give a green light to whatever degenerate behavior is around them, mm-hmm. as long as they can get away from being implicated, and it advances their careers, and or they're being shown a good time.
So if you were at a puffy party, you'd be having a good time. You wouldn't be worried about anything. You'd just be going.
I wouldn't be going to a puffy party. I'm sorry. That cat parties in ways that I don't necessarily need to see. And I'm not trying to be, don't stop. With him. So I tell you that we won't stop. Because he's just...
That is not the song you want playing at a puffy party.
No.
It's 2 a.m. <Stop. laughs> Why?
Oh my god.
I mean, is it homophobic?
Everything to
highlight these aspects mm-hmm. of Sean Combs' parties and nightlife.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it wasn't like he was just engaging in that activity. It was that people didn't want it.
Right. They didn't consent you know what I mean? To it.
Yeah.
Hence the sex trafficking charges also.
But there's a lot to be said about coercion in these situations, right?
His wealth alone is coercive.
You said his life alone is coercive?
His wealth.
So how then does a person of that kind of stature, this is a serious question, have a relationship with someone? Can you just meet somebody and dig them? Like, hey, makeup artist, you're cool. Let's hang out.
I mean, he's Diddy.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you can separate his celebrity from who he is. It's not like you're just going to go to a Starbucks and, like, try lattes. You're like, hi, you like the sorbet?
They have sorbet at your Starbucks? Oh, wow. Florida is a whole different world, man.
It really is. A couple of alligators change everything.
Alligator soup and sorbet at Pascal's. Freaking. That's not a Starbucks, by the way. You need to get that cataracts looked at. We have a super chat from Devotion Orange. Thank you very much, Devotion Orange. G-Dep got out of prison and Harlem shook. Who's G-Dep?
Cute. Tucson. We have another super chat.
Well, can you explain the G-Dep?
G-Dep is a rapper that was on Bad Boy Records. Mm-hmm. He, a few years ago, apparently over 13 years ago, mm-hmm. turned himself into police saying that he had murdered someone.
Okay.
Over 20 years ago.
Oh, weird.
Right. Apparently he was in, he was high, intoxicated when he did that, but he did that nonetheless and was taken into custody. He served about 13 years. He also received clemency from the governor, Governor Hochul. And he's out today.
But they found the body of the person he killed, or he made it up? I'm confused.
No, apparently. Apparently they verified it.
So he killed somebody, went to the cops, was like, oh, by the way, I killed this dude. It's been weighing on my conscience for years.
Right.
And the governor was like, oh, word. You know, we didn't really miss him. So,
you did good while you were in jail. He earned his associate's degree and has amassed a small library of books.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a weird story, but all the stories of people on Bad Boy are weird.
So that's just, that wasn't Puffy didn't do anything to get him out. That was just a guy, a person on death row or death row on Bad Boy. See, I'm getting him confused now. That's a first. Like, this is how far the pendulum has swung.
I thought you meant the real death row. Like, he was on actual death row.
Stranded on death row is a whole nother meaning for this G-Dep character.
No, G-Dep is a free man. He served his time.
Well, there you go. Well, he said he got clemency.
He got out early.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. So we do have another super chat.
I put it on the screen right now. Oh, well, you took it off. There you go. Having a contest here. From Dizzle McFizzle. Thank you. Isn't the pimp just a gross representation of the capitalist dynamics, like a more naked form, pun intended? Or maybe it's just a result of the proliferation of the book Pimp by Iceberg Slim. Pascal, you want to dive into that?
I mean, I think a pimp is an actual legitimate real phenomenon. I mean, there are men who use women to extract sexual favors for profit, for money. I don't think we should act like pimps don't exist. But I do agree with Jason's earlier comment that it's not as formalized as we see in these kind of romantic notions, as in, quote unquote, Iceberg Slim's pimp or the Mac. But I do agree that there is a certain kind of formalization that has happened through these popular culture, Don Goins novels, books like, you know, Iceberg Slim's books, movies like The Mac. What was that film that we actually watched on our show?
Willie Dynamite,
that have made these things seem more appealing as lifestyles to certain youth in some ways that made them fixtures. I can remember several times hearing certain hip-hop songs that would have scenes from pimp culture references in 70s documentaries or 70s movies, if you will, in their songs.
Toussaint, you want to add something?
I'm a hustler, babe.
Didn't think that was what you were going to add, but okay. Okay. Didn't see that one coming.
That's my contribution.
But what is it? There is something interesting about this idea of pimping, and to Dizzle's point, is a pimp kind of the icon of capitalist exploitation? And I was having a conversation with Toussaint before we got on air, and there's a lot you can explain to someone, a square, as they say in the free world, about the pimp-ho relationship and how it relates to capitalist exploitation, right? But it definitely is one of those things that kind of almost like every drug dealer is a kingpin.
Mm-hmm.
When most drug dealers deal to support a habit,
or they hand it in.
You know, most people don't even know how snitches work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people that go down for kingpin crimes aren't kingpins. They just got told on by somebody that had to lean on someone else that wasn't going to kill them. And that's the criminal underworld in a nutshell. I mean, you can see some of that in these really horrible shows like First 48, where everybody's telling on everybody.
Jason out here giving game for free.
Jason's from Oakland, man.
You know, Jason was born in Oakland, but I grew up in a worse place, a place called Richmond, California, where you really see this stuff play out in front of your face all the time. And it was part of the environment that I lived in. So, you know, it's not all kingpins and pimps and fine suits and, you know, hookers and furs. You want to read that comment, Tisa?
Wes Iceberg Slim, he was the coldest cat. Get your swag back, daddy, where your focus at. Sean Jay-Z Carter.
I mean, this culture is glorified in the music. And we were even joking about it, like when you're looking good, right? Old folks are like, go on, pimp. Should we start replacing pimp with sex trafficker? I mean, those hip hop songs hit way different when you do, you know. Sex trafficking ain't easy.
But it sure is fun.
But it sure is fun, right? It hits a little different. Are you taking the fun out of it? Before we did this show, I was looking, trying to find some, was there any like academic articles on this stuff? And there is. Oh boy, there is. And they were very antithetical to what we're saying. If anything, they were saying that the pimp is like not a bad character. And it's through the racism of white society in Hollywood that have portrayed the pimp negatively. What say you to that, Pascal Robert?
I mean, I think that's really kind of ridiculous. I mean, the pimp, pimps are abusive, man. I mean, they harm women. I mean, obviously, a pimp does not exist in a vacuum. Obviously, he exists in a cycle of violence that creates him. You know, like I said, if you read Iceberg Slim, he talks about how his pimping starts as a product of being sexually violated by a woman. So it's not like the criminality starts in a vacuum, but at the same time, that doesn't mean we should absolve it either.
Toussaint, you want to add to that?
I'm looking at our super chats. I'm sorry.
Okay, you can still add to it.
Oh I was doing one thing at once as opposed to two things at once. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Well, in this show, we all juggle.
I did want to say this about pimping women. My understanding is that if it's happening to women, it's happening to girls. If it's happening to girls, it's happening to boys. If it's happening to boys, it's happening to men. So it's not just pimping women.
That's it?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that.
Doesn't make it any better.
Certainly doesn't. But it doesn't necessarily make it worse. Because in some people's eyes, if it's pimping men and boys, then you have got an extra layer of homophobia on top of that. It's all bad.
Jesus.
I would argue. Let me ask you a question. If Sean Combs was only, if Sean Combs had only been accused of sexually abusing women, do you think people would be as upset or as outraged?
No.
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
I think so. Remember, this facade starts to crumble because of a woman, not a man.
But the salaciousness and the homophobia gets ratcheted up really high. The memes are not about him raping women. They're about him raping men. They're, the punchline is Meek Mill. It's not a woman.
I get that. But R. Kelly didn't go down. Bill Cosby didn't go down. Harvey Weinstein didn't go down. Matt Lauer didn't go down. Charlie Rose didn't go down. Because they were diddling ding-dongs. They all went down because they harassed and assaulted women in some cases.
It seems like Diddy's done both.
Yep. But I don't think that had it been no men at all, that everybody would just turn a blind eye. Remember, he settles in a day.
I agree with that.
In a day.
30 million.
I think the memes are coming out more of an almost in a jailhouse way. Right? There's that joke on the Boondocks about Tom not wanting to go to prison because he doesn't want to get anally raped because he watched the movie Penitentiary as a child.
Right.
I've had that same conversation with several people. That's why that show is so funny. They try to make it seem like it's just him. But I'm sure Pascal stayed out of prison for that reason.
And who the fear, hell? Fear my father beating my ass if I ever got in trouble. That was
one of, you know, your dad can't touch you inside, so you would have been safe from him. But there's a lot of other dads in there.
Oh, my God. A lot of other dads in prison.
There's a lot of other dads in there that would have touched you in all kinds of ways. Especially when you're so pretty when you smile. But, you know, jokes aside, there was a time when that was actually really bad in prisons, sexual assaults. I mean, they try to not have people with people that can assault them, but you're getting assaulted for things. It's not about attractiveness, so to speak.
Right.
Right. You're getting assaulted for, you know, you may not be from the right neighborhood. You could have said the wrong thing. And this is punishment. And let's be honest, that's hard for a lot of men to fathom. And to have a guy be so, I don't want to say powerful, but powerful. And be willing to just, no, you're going to do this because I said so. You know, the memes are going to come. It's going to be, there's going to be a lot of jokes behind it. But if that wasn't there, you know, he'd be R. Kelly 2.0.
I'm not saying he wouldn't catch shade. What I'm saying is that this way, 50 Cent is going in on Diddy a lot having to do with the the gender politics of what's going on, the sexual orientation game, mm-hmm. what's going on. You know, he called him. He said, you know, Diddy's a fruit pop.
He's a what?
He called him a fruit pop.
A fruit pop. I thought you said something else.
Yeah.
I thought you started saying some Italian slang. All your New York queens came out right there. Hey, you called them a fruit pop. It couldn't have done it. Gabagool.
Yeah, 50 Cent has got this vendetta against Diddy going. And his baby's mom's involved. It's a lot. But when 50's on the case, 50's on the case.
I mean, I think there's people reveling in the fact this man is going down because he seems like a horrible person. I mean, people are also talking about the fact that he blew up another person's car.
He blew up Kid Cudi's car. Another rapper.
That's part of the case, actually, this whole car blowing up thing.
Didn't he smash a bottle over Steve Stout's head or something like that?
Jesus Christ.
I don't remember. That was in the 90s, right?
It was in the 90s.
Someone says Jason thinks all New York Italians sound like old pizza chefs. Yeah, the kid's from California. He didn't know a good pie. Jesus. Yes, yeah. I do.
He blew up Kid Cudi's car because Kid Cudi was dating Cassie.
Wow.
It feels like this dude got some money and wanted to live out his mafia fantasies.
Absolutely.
More than anything.
That sounds like 60% of the cats from Jamaica, Queens. Except getting the money part.
Except the game of the money part.
Like, it almost feels like this dude acts as if, like, dude, there's repercussions to these things. Like, take that. He literally saw, because he wasn't there when Biggie got shot, but I mean, definitely two people somewhat close to him get murdered around the same time.
I thought I told you that Biggie got shot.
Jesus Christ. All of New York just yelled out, too soon.
I told you that Biggie got shot. Oh my God.
God damn. I'm the GIR where nothing is sacred. Not even Biggie.
He was really taking advantage of Biggie too. Didn't he not hold back on his masters for a long time before he?
I mean, Biggie wasn't around that long for a long time to happen.
No, I mean, sure, no. Giving you access
to his family.
Yeah.
He's trying to get off of Bad Boy before he died.
I mean,
to get away from his alleged best friend.
That's the industry, right?
So is it 50 Cent is an urban warlord.
Like in the African style warlord.
Like the video game character?
50 Cent is Joseph Kony. I don't even want to do the accent because I don't want to get yelled at by Milton Alemany.
I have a bunch of super chats to go through. Do you want to do that now?
Wait a minute. I still have to get over the fact that Pascal just totally shit on a New York icon at 50 Cent. the no camera Pascal is just so fearless.
See, that's what it does to you.
You know what's really messed up about this whole thing? Is that because Pascal's not on the screen, someone's going to show that clip to like Jared Ball. Like Power Media comes after me for shitting on fucking Biggie Smalls. No.
We're coming for you, Jason.
We're coming for you.
I got to deal with all these fucking niggas rolling up on me like the fucking tri-lambs at the end of Revenge of the Nerds. I go to the DC show to doo-doo-doo-doo. Then they got to challenge them to a breakdance battle knowing they got bad hips.
Nice. Bad hips, he said. Sean McCallum says, Jason calls it the rich, but it sounds like the poor.
No. It's not funny. It is. It's a poor city.
This is McFizzle asks, how are pimps so prevalent? I heard it wasn't easy.
Again, it really is about exploitation, right? It's right. About desperate people doing desperate shit. And it's about the fact that we like our treats, as Matt Chrisman says. Not every drug dealer is a kingpin. Not every pimp has a car. Think about that for a second.
I mean, there are rumors that Beyonce's mom pimped her to Jay-Z.
Oh.
Damn.
Pimped her to the industry in general. Like, both her parents pimped her to the industry. But, you know, mom likes nice cars and furs and treats. You got this kid. You pimp the kid.
This is what I'll say to that. I don't buy that.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why I don't buy that. First of all, managers hook people up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. Sometimes relationships you see are only for a movie. How many times have you seen a romantic comedy that, you know, maybe isn't, well, you don't know this, isn't testing well. So it's like, oh man, we got to get a relationship. Like, shit. Now, mm-hmm. You know, now the actors fell in love on set, and then they, you know, they break up soon after the press junket for the movie is done.
Right.
Back in the day, managers and relationships would cover up homosexual actors, actually. Relationships. Because it was still taboo in Hollywood and illegal in some places. So I don't buy that woman had to do anything to set her daughter, who was probably the most popular black woman since Diana Ross. I can't think of a black woman more popular than Beyonce over the last 20 years. So it wasn't like Jay-Z didn't know who the fuck she was.
Well,
is Beyonce what Houston could have been?
No, because Whitney Houston was always a solo artist, and Beyonce is more akin to Diana Ross because she did have a group.
Interesting.
And Whitney Houston was always problematic.
Whitney Houston was a singer.
Yes.
Beyonce is a showgirl.
Ooh. Tell me how you really feel. Much like Diana Ross.
Fair.
You know, she was not the voice of the Supremes. She was just the face. So, no, I wouldn't compare those two and say that one could have had the same career. I think Beyonce is one of those people that's made for stardom. She makes a very good celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
that relationship at that time, I didn't think it was going to last, actually. Because I figured she would have outgrown him. You know, pulled the Eve and married a prince or something. And, you know, they kind of built a bit of an empire, and there you have it, right? The empire of black excellence is Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Very true.
So I don't think her mom had to do anything to make that happen. I don't even think managers really had to do much to make that happen. I'm sure some of it happened organically and, you know.
I would think so. And we're talking about the beginning. when she was very young. I would think that some of that happened organically too. Luca Della, why can't I read this?
Luca DiCola. What was that next headroom?
Luca DiCola says Jay-Z big sex trafficking.
Right?
Featuring UGK.
You know what? Look, let's do this. Can we get this trending on Twitter? Replace pimp with sex traffic in a song. Doesn't hit the same way.
No, it doesn't. We've got two more.
Okay.
Jason Free says, are pimps PMC?
They could be.
That's funny, but no, right? It's like they're a lumping class. They're not.
They're a lumping class.
No. No. I mean.
Fancy ones?
Dude, the fancy ones are such a joke for the camera.
Is Epstein a lumping?
Epstein is a complex character, right? Because he does it in a, on a level that we don't normally see it on.
Right.
And maybe these people are in, there's different classes of them, right? Maybe we should start classifying the different classes.
Escort managers.
You know, there's some powerful people I've heard rumors about. I'll write it in the chat, but I can't say it out loud because I'm not trying to get shot.
Good. Don't get shot.
I got to go back to the Bay. So there's people I've heard about even in politics. You see that, Pascal?
Yep.
Have you heard that rumor too?
I didn't hear that aspect of him.
Yeah. Somebody said dish, nigga, please. I'm trying to
get Jason gave enough game for free today.
New. You know who you can talk shit about and not worry about? Anybody on the internet. I can call Vosh's mama all kind of hoes. I'm never going to get beat up for that. The name I wrote down, I might get fucked up.
She's not alive anymore.
Bert says, I feel like Jason should have had a feathered hat for this entire episode.
That would have worked.
You know, the sad part is I'm literally looking at it across from me. Right.
You want to go get it while I read the super chat?
Oh, God. Okay.
Ken says, the homophobia sets a popular man in the community as a deviant, a quote-unquote deviant.
That's a very interesting analysis.
Yeah.
There were just women that wouldn't be deviant.
I think that's true.
That's true. It goes to the point as to why it's more salacious because it's men.
Right.
That explains a lot.
Bert said it's just a beanie with a feather duct tape to it.
A fedora, man. That's a fedora.
You know, my father gave this to me with a suit that definitely does not fit. And I said, I can't wear this. He's like, you just wear it. And I was like, I can't.
That's a nice sky, man. That's a nice sky, brother.
I took the hat. Like, Bert Cooper says, I look like I want to talk about jazz.
I told you.
Wow.
I told you.
Dang. Dang.
Nice hat, man.
I like this hat. I think it's a nice hat, not a pimp hat. My father gave this to me.
It's not a pimp hat. It's a fedora, man.
The whole suit, you have to, and the shoes.
Gaiters? Did you use some gaiters?
Yes, he did.
Gotta have the gaiters.
That's an Oakland thing, man.
My father was, he was one of the people that we were talking about in a former life. Jay looked like he gonna start calling people daddy, yo. Damn.
Two-tone gators.
And Jason looked like he's going to march on Washington. That's what they do. JC says Jason already calls people cats unironically. I do.
That's a fact.
And I do say I don't dig it. I don't dig it. Look here, you jive turkeys.
Hero ain't nothing but a sandwich, Jason.
In Nicklandia, we don't pimp, you dig? Burns says Jason looks like he's going to tell a young black man that anger is not the way.
You look like you got a pack of cool cigarettes on the table.
Colt 45.
Damn. I don't give a damn what y'all say. I do like the hat.
The hat is tight, man.
Someone says, I want to see Jason in a zoot suit. The suit my father gave me was so large, it looks like a zoot suit. I kept trying to tell him, A, you're bigger than me this way, and that's not going to fit me. He's like, that's going to fit. I'm like, I mean, yeah, in a way. Jason looked like he's ready to go play dominoes in the park. I'm here for the roast right now because this is pretty funny. Jason looks like a 1950 journalist. Oh my God.
Oakland Slim.
Oakland Slim. You know, he used to come by the studio.
Oakland Slim?
Fillmore Slim did, yeah.
Fillmore Slim, the original.
He's a blues musician.
The original OG pimp.
Yeah.
The Bay.
Jason dressed like the dude who was selling heroin to Ray Charles. That's the meanest, funniest thing so far. Jason Coltrane.
Yes.
Did you see what Lula wrote? Can you please read this?
Jason looks like the wild substitute teacher who tries to get the class to watch his free jazz video.
Sean Moon said, what's wrong with dominoes in the park? Goddamn, Sean. Tell me you a nigga without telling me. Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Jason, one more button on the shirt and the pimper becomes a pimpy.
Jason looks like he's about to talk about how great Quaaludes were back in the day. Jesus Christ. You guys, thank you for the end of show roast. I didn't know we were going to get one of those. That's a clip right there. Jason looks like Cornel West has a story about. God damn. Bert says one more button and Diddy would be like, I don't like it that easy. Christ. You know what's like funny about this? This is like a locker room, intergendered locker room right now because everybody is just piling on the meanest shit possible.
That's right.
Jesus.
Brother Jason Miles.
Then I had to lay hands on the bitch, Jason Miles. Thank you for spelling my name wrong. I do appreciate that.
Oh, man.
There's nothing like being insulted and your name is spelled wrong. I appreciate that, actually, when I get insulted with the name spelled wrong. It's like, you know me enough to get mad enough, but not know me. I'm okay with that. A one-way version of the dozens. It really is. I can't talk shit about y'all. Living in your mama house ass niggas. I'm just kidding. Leisure suit. When we're gonna do that, I was gonna wear that suit on a dare.
Oh my gosh.
Damn, Jason, like you're about to sing the intro into the Chappelle Show. God damn.
Stop. Stop.
Young Jay says, Jason looked like he wants to teach his sons about how to treat a lady.
Oh, that is good.
I hope this isn't the episode my mom is watching either. That'd be crazy. Mama, why were you wearing that hat? Why are they calling you all those names? They don't know you're too stupid to be a pimp.
Aww.
That is definitely something my mom would say. Jason looks like Thelonious Monk's deck collector.
Reversible alligator belt.
Jesus Christ. Nope, this is just the episode Jason's prospect is going to watch, though. God damn. Pascal, I didn't tell you that MT ruined my chances with a young lady.
Well, what does she do now?
She was being herself.
Basically.
She made one of those you're not 5'10 jokes.
I was
talking to this woman on the phone after the show. It was a champagne room thing, and I was talking to her afterwards, and she was like, you're not 5'10. She like yelled that out. Then she's like, I can't be with the dude. That's the butt of the joke. So I was like,
oh, are you serious?
It's heartbreaking, man.
That's so funny.
Did you know? Someone says, don't show this segment to future dates, Jason. The Mexican black tar heroin shirt. Yes, the hat and the shirt definitely don't go together. I definitely look like I'm trying to pimp, but don't know how.
Jason is, in fact, 5'6", just so everybody knows.
Wow. I am going to kick you in.
That was Bert.
Those baby
Bert
shins.
Said that.
Damn. These guys are going in. Oof. Guys are going in. Well, look, we're going to the champagne room because there's more to discuss. I have some more videos for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, I did send this video. Should we do this in the champagne room? This pimp video from JD's Revenge. Do you remember JD's Revenge, Pascal?
No.
Are you serious?
JD's a show or song?
It's a movie. You don't remember that movie with he ended up playing Colonel Taylor on Different World?
OK. Get Out.
No, Get Out's a different movie. Oh, he wasn't in Get Out.
Shut the front door.
Here, I'll play this. There it is. Jesus. Can you see it on screen?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's all it took.
Jesus.
That's all it took. Dizzle says Jason looks like the first crack dealer.
The very first.
Damn. Say, niggas.
You want to get high?
Kind of a way to get high at a third of the price.
So this is a scene. These are scenes about kind of, you know, guerrilla pimping, as they call it. And
guerrilla pimping.
I think all this shit again is just massively exploitive. But looking at this stuff after the show we just had, it's gonna make you feel a little icky. So.
Just fucking ever.
Yeah, that's because you've been dealing with Ace.
Sadly, if anyone ever said that to me, I'd be like, really?
You gotta leave. Where you going, sugar?
I got business to take care of.
Shit! That's my old man! Shit!
Gotta go talk to him.
Cheryl?
Hey! What you doing back so soon, baby?
You got some money with you, don't you, bitch?
No.
Yeah, you got somebody with you, and I'm gonna kick the son of a bitch's ass.
Wow.
Also, there was a way that you just talked to your wife in these movies in the 70s that was just so not the way people should ever talk to their spouses.
Very true.
Oof. I mean, in 2024, had that exchange happened, I think the response would have been, hell yeah, you gonna talk to me like that?
She told the dude to come out.
Yeah. Now take your pants off. Show this nigga what a dick you got. Yeah, that would have been a whole different. How many bitches I'm finna be now?
Yeah, that's right. I fucked your woman. Fuck her. Motherfucker, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna rip your ass apart.
That was the best.
Like they used that in
Wu-Tang
Only Goes with Cuban Links. Yeah.
Like that's like, come on, dude.
A knife, nigga? You bring a knife?
I mean, I just would have left.
I mean, yeah.
Like, this would have left. I'd have been like, dude, you just fucked the dude from Different World?
The Colonel?
God, you fucked the Colonel. Like, word?
I'm out of here.
I'm out, dude. Get sorry.
Glenn Berman?
Yeah, like, sorry I wasn't in fucking. What was the Cornbread Earl and Me?
She fucked Cold Cheese?
Yeah.
Cold Cheese?
Of all the niggas in Hollywood, you fucked the Colonel? I'd have been hella mad.
Coach, he's from Coolia.
I might have cried if it was Dwayne Wayne, but damn.
Dwayne Wayne.
With a perm, too.
With real. A perm, yeah. A righteous perm.
And not even like the righteous perm.
Nigga had a perm.
Like, would you have left, Pascal? Would you just be like, I'm out, man. This... You know, my mama told me you wasn't
man,
shit.
You gotta get ass to keep ass. You gotta whoop some ass, man. I'm not gonna think what you said.
You would have fought that night. You would have fought.
I mean, I'm saying it was like, you know, there's a short path between him and the door, and that nigga's in between it.
Short path. Pascal calculating distances.
I'm mad that that little like knife would have been enough to be like, ooh.
This you want a knife? You want a knife? What you You better bring some heat, nigga.
I was like, you could take the knife and this woman, please.
Lay it out. I want to see what happens.
Like, just leave me alone. I want to shit with the door open again. I'm out.
The knife and this woman.
Clear making it know she was very clear, making it know that he brought the pain in the sack, though. I can tell you that.
Yeah, like I don't want to.
You were fucking with the ace. You were fucking with the ace. With clubs, nigga.
I'd have been like, "Word, you're gonna attack me with a barber's tool? Hold on, let me go get some clippers and we can have a duel." Fuck that, dude. I'm not. You just told me you don't want to be in this relationship. I ain't gonna fight for it. Shit, that don't make sense.
First of all, his anger is directed in the wrong area.
Like she's an innocent victim to the dick down.
That's what I'm saying. She's the one that's the problem. You shouldn't have laid hands on her.
Did he hypnotize you with his balls, honey? Do that, you know.
You shouldn't have laid hands on her, but she is the one that's the problem.
Have you ever been in that situation, Tucson, where you just had a tryst with Glenn Turman from Different World and then your boyfriend walks in?
All the time.
Jesus.
Wow.
If I had a dollar.
I wish I had a dollar.
For every time.
Every
that
time.
That exact scenario happened.
So you've never been in that scenario where you have. That is a hell of a scenario, actually, too.
It is.
Most people aren't that sloppy when they cheat.
Yeah, she was like.
Let's think about it this naturally. He just hit the skins, so she got his essence all up in her, shay shay woo woo. So
why'd she put on a robe?
Understand something? The husband comes in, She ain't gonna take a shower. Mm-mm. She's gonna go straight to the bed. Mm-hmm. So he's gonna jump right into the Shay Shay Woo Woo, man. Mm-hmm. Same Shay Shay Woo Woo that she was in, all up in her essence.
Mm-hmm. Knee deep. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, knee deep. You know how he knew that? When I watched the scene again with you guys, I realized he knew because he smelled Glenn Turman's perm. He was like.
You're sizzling.
Oh man, I forgot. I thought we was in the champagne.
Let's this video is sure to get demonetized. If you guys did like the ending roast and Pascal's soliloquy of essence, sizz. Please make sure you leave a super chat because YouTube is definitely gonna tell us to go F ourselves when we say we didn't do anything wrong here, YouTube. They demonetize way worse videos. But because we don't have the viewing base of a Joe Rogan, you can't go around talking about pimps, Puffy, essences. Pascal sounds like he had to pull knives on a few husbands.
Oh, God.
I think we have to replay that clip in the champagne room. The penis woman. If you guys want to see the penis woman clip in the champagne room, just comment and we will definitely play that along with some others. Thank you guys so much. If you are listening on Apple and you want to get access to the champagne room, it's easy. Just sign up as a member and you can have access to the champagne rooms past and present. If you are watching on YouTube and you want to have access to the champagne room, that's simple. Become a patron for as little as $3 a month or $30 for the year. You can make sure we can keep doing this, and B, get access to champagne rooms past and present, and so much more. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you in a few minutes on the other side, and we are
out.